You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Climate change is literally an existential threat to our nation and to the world. This is an emergency, and I will look at it that way. I said last week, and I'll say it again loud and clear. As president, I'll use my executive powers to combat the climate crisis.
There's an old phrase, and it's probably inappropriate to use it, but there's no fixing stupid. And these are bad policies. They have been bad policies. They led to awful consequences, and these guys just keep pumping the same bad policies. You know, the old country phrase here in Tennessee and Kentucky is there ain't no lesson from the second kick of a mule.
No lesson if you get kicked by a mule a second time. Your first kick from the mule should have been, that's your lesson. You need it again? Well, you'll get it. This is July 21, 2022. We are live streaming on rumble.com. Go to the search engine, Larry Connors USA. One word, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up our Rumble page. You'll see previous Rumbles, and you can push a button and join us live in studio. Glad to have you. That was Art Laffner at the end, a former Reagan economist, referring to Biden's declaration in Massachusetts yesterday that it's critical we focus everything on climate change. Everything has to be built around climate and climate change. No matter the cost of turning Americans' lives upside down, America itself upside down, making us vulnerable to our enemies. They don't really care about that. They're just all about climate change and man's to blame for it. We're going to spend some time on this and the economy in more detail later. And we're also going to go back in recent history, when Trump appeared at the UN, and in his address, he warned Germany specifically, don't get tied to Russian oil. There's a clip going around on the internet right now that shows him making that statement, and it shows the German representatives at the UN kind of snickering and laughing and looking at each other and rolling their eyes. This guy's crazy, right? Yeah, how crazy is he now? And 40 years ago, Reagan issued them the same warning, and he was ignored. Even though there was a CIA memo that said, at that time, a 3,500-mile pipeline from Siberia to Germany would create serious repercussions. That was a statement from the CIA in a memo 40 years ago. Oil continues to fuel our inflation and our economic issue at every level. They were trying to insist that, no, it's climate change. No, it's fuel. And what we are not doing when we could be using our own fuel and gas. Today, the European central banks, make note of this, the European central banks raise their rates half a point. That's the first rate hike by the European Central Bank in 10 years. In 10 years. Our Fed meets next week, and the forecast already is look for not a quarter point, not a half a point, a full 1 point jump. You're buying a house, you're going to try to get a mortgage, you better try to get it wrapped up before the Fed issues its statement next week. You don't have to be an economist to understand the effects of all this on your family. The Biden White House continues to insist there's no crisis at the border. No surprise there, because they no longer recognize there is a border. So if there's no border, how the hell can there be a crisis? But the economy, illegal immigration, and abortion are going to be key points on the midterm elections coming up. In reference to abortion, we're going to be joined by Sarah Perry, Heritage constitutional expert. Do states have the authority to block citizens leaving their state to go somewhere else for an abortion? Or do they even have the right to block citizens going through their state to go to another state to have an abortion? You're getting right now, you're getting the leftists. This is their latest scare tactic. Oh, and I should not use the word abortion. They no longer want to use the word abortion because it's frightening, you think? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The border is secure. The border, we are working to make the border more secure. That has been a historic challenge.
That is laughable. The White House press secretary had said that the border was secure last week as well. So a group of senators did go to the border this past week. And what we witnessed was not a secure border. It was a border in crisis, a humanitarian crisis. Of course, these drug cartels are pushing drugs across the border. They're human trafficking. They're sending weapons back and forth across the border.
That is Idaho Senator Joni Ernst, Republican. She was among the Republicans who went to the border this week. The remarks you were hearing from Alejandro Mayorkas that the border is secure were made also earlier this week while he was in Aspen. But under questioning, take note of this. Under questioning, when topics of the southern border was addressed, and again, this was part of an interview that Mayorkas was also giving following his appearance in front of the group at Aspen, he was asked basically about the border being secure. And he said what you just heard him say. The border is secure. We're working to make the border more secure. This has been a historic challenge. But he also added, listen here, he also added, the border is not safe. His words, the border is not safe. As he said, and I'm quoting him directly, safe and secure are two different words. Oh, well, I knew that. Did you know that? You know they're spelled differently too, don't you? And they can have different meanings. But generally, when you say secure, things are safe. If you say your bank account is secure, you're thinking it's safe. your house is secure, it's safe, it's going to be protected. But they want to now break this away. They want to rewrite our language, which they've been doing on a continuing basis. But he said, safe and secure are two different words. There are smugglers that operate on the Mexican side of the border, and placing one's life in their hands is not safe. You see where he's going with this? Those that come across the border is secure, but you're still able to come across. However, getting to the border is not safe for you. That's what he's trying to say? This is not the only latest indication of how we're watching the left try to rewrite the U.S. English language and rewrite and redefine words. There's a piece out right now I've got here in front of me that, where is this thing? I got papers all over. If you're watching right now on rumble.com, you can see I'm searching all over. This remark was made by a member of the, it's a member of Congress, so I'll make sure I get the right name. I'll tell you, you think I don't put some prep into this program and then trying to find the right word at the right time? Here it is. They are now saying that you can no longer or should no longer use the word abortion. Abortion, they say, has been weaponized. Because when you say abortion, you're indicating something really vile and dangerous. That is what an abortion is, to the victim, the baby. But they don't want you to use that word. We'll get into that in more detail later for you. I have the exact quote, the source here in a moment. But here we have Mayorkas admitting in the address at Aspen and then doing a fireside chat with an MSNBC correspondent who is loaded with powerful questions. I joke. She's not powerful questions. Her questions were like, when one point she was saying that she didn't ask at all about the underlying cause of illegal immigration. She did ask whether white supremacy is hardwired into the country. And then she asked, what does a good day look like for you? This is an MSNBC reporter talking to Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of Department of Homeland Security. What does a good day look like for you? That is about as stupid of a question as asking if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? But that's where he also, when she finally got around to asking a question about the border, she said, he insisted again, well, it is secure, but there's a difference between being secure and safe. It's not safe to come here, to come across our border that's secure. Well, Senator Jody Ernst from Idaho said there's some truth in what he's saying, but we got people at the border that actually assist the cartels. And she said, we also need to start going after those people as well. And she's got a bill she introduced.
While we were there, we actually did witness a drug cartel spotter on the opposite side of the bank in Mexico. They use these spotters to identify where Border Patrol agents are, and then they will alert the drug cartels to move to another area where there are no Border Patrol agents. So I have introduced a bill that would increase penalties for those that are caught abetting the drug cartels. We feel that it's absolutely necessary, along with a combination of other border security bills.
We're introducing all of these things, and what is the left doing? They continue to push for it. You know what they're doing? A handful of House Democrats proposing a daily rolling amnesty. A rolling amnesty that would give green cards to illegal aliens as long as they've claimed to have lived in the U.S. for 7 years. Do you know how fast that word will get out? If you get stopped and you're asked how long you've been living here, your answer will always be 7 years. Oh, I know your feet are still wet from coming across the Rio Grande, but I've been here 7 years. they learn quickly. We tell them what the law is, and we basically then advise them how to get around it. And that's what these Democrats are saying. We want to allow anyone that would allow a permanent rolling registry that could be renewed daily. The U.S. of A. is now part of North Mexico. And it is not just our southern border counties. You need to keep that in mind. Illegals are making their way all across the nation with the help of the Biden administration, sometimes helping them get to states where they can have an abortion because they got raped on their way here by the cartel. To that extent, Mayorkas is right. It is not safe to travel with these cartels to get to the border. Question you have to keep coming back to, I mean, we all do, with Biden sees, he knows all of this, it's happening on a continuing basis, the numbers continue to go up, Mayorkas continue to say, well, there's no crisis, we don't like those C words, like a crisis or chaos, we don't even like catnip, we don't like anything that might suggest there's an issue at the border. The border is secure. Question for Senator Joni Ernst of Idaho. Why is Biden continuing to ignore this?
The administration should not be ignoring this. What we heard was a level of frustration that is beyond anything I've heard from the Border Patrol in recent years. They are very frustrated with the catch-and-release policies of this administration. This is not a secure border. They are working basically on the efficiency of bringing in illegal migrants. They're given a notice to appear. Many of those folks do not ever appear. They're already in the United States. Why would they come back? But it was appalling as well to hear about the issues that the women and children are facing as they're being trafficked to the border, the sexual abuse, the physical abuse. Those that are sick or lame and fall behind are left to die on these landowners' property. It's appalling, and I can't believe the president is not addressing it.
The only thing that raised his concern the other day was when this truck filled with migrants was found in Texas, locked, no water, no ventilation, and dozens of migrants, illegals, inside the truck died. And then suddenly they make a big issue, but it's not their fault. It's Governor Abbott's fault of Texas. I'm looking at a piece right here. You just heard Joni Ernst point out that if they become lame or sick or exhausted, they just leave them behind. They may leave them behind on our side of the border, or they barely get them across the border, maybe at a point where they're not being intercepted by the Border Patrol, and they will leave them behind. And in fact, there's a migrant that's just been found dead on a Texas ranch 25 miles north of the Mexican border. Now, we don't know factually if the cartel helped get him to that point, him, her, they don't even know at this point if it's a male or female, but they ran out of water, the heat, they died. And that's pretty common. And the other issue that's going on, this open borders, as much as the fight for green pie-in-the-sky dreams of AOC and all the radical leftists, is affecting the economy. It's affecting it in so many different ways. Congressman Hill addressed that point. Now, Congressman Hill, you don't hear very much from, but it's worth noting on this case. Congressman French Hill, you'll remember the name now, right? He's a Republican from Arkansas. And he basically points out how Biden is continuing to ignore Americans and American needs.
Joe Biden is ignoring the real crises facing American families, which are high inflation, trying to fill up their gas tanks every week, the open border, which is definitely a national security crisis on our southwest border. These are things that he's ignoring and not prioritizing. And that's why he's at a 30% approval rating.
Yeah. And Democrats know that's how bad it is, and I don't see any of them really inviting him to come stand beside them as they run in their primary, well, now the general elections if they've already gone through their primary. He may show up at some. They may or not want him. Sometimes when he shows up, the main Democrats in that particular area don't even bother going. They do not want to be associated with the man. And up in Massachusetts yesterday, he made a remark that kind of seemed off the cuff, and it kind of caught everybody by surprise. He talking about the dangers of pollution, what we need to do about climate control, and he recalled, that's why I and so damn many other people I grew up with have cancer. And for the longest time, Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation. That's his home state. Did he just admit that he has had cancer, he has cancer, or was he referring to his son, Bo, who died of cancer? No one knows. All they're confirming is that he's come down with COVID, despite being vaccinated repeatedly and booster shots. Oh, and I have that quote for you. The word abortion has been weaponized by pro-lifers to raise the emotions of others. That's according to Democrat New York Congresswoman Kathleen Rice, and saying you need to use a word that's less negative, and let's have a real conversation on the issue. You don't want a real conversation on abortion. That's why you don't like the word, because you know it means the death of a baby. Coming up, Donald Trump, when he was president, warned Germany, do not tie yourself to Russia.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
That's a clip that's being circulated on the internet of President Trump addressing the UN, specifically telling Germany, don't become dependent upon Russia. And in the video, you also see some of the Russian members of the UN sitting there kind of smiling and smirking and laughing at each other. You can almost hear them speak in German, Deutschland, or English itself, basically. This man's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, well, let me give you some late details. This is just last month. Germany is now rationing hot water, dimming street lights, shutting down swimming pools. 3 days ago, they pointed out that while they have shut down or plan to shut down their three remaining nuclear power plants by the end of this year, now they're reconsidering. And then here's the other shoe dropping. They have now estimated that Germany, this is according to their top energy regulator, can last just 2.5 months without Russian gas. You can last 2.5 months if you get no more Russian gas. Now, does you think the President Trump warning to them at the UN hearing, when President Trump gave him, when he gave them a warning, when President Trump spoke up and said that he thinks they should pay attention? Let's hear it again.
Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
Yeah, you think they're laughing in the dark and in the cold as winter begins in a few months in Germany? And again, their top energy regulator said we last just 2.5 months without Russian gas. They have restarted coal mines. They had shut them down. They wanted to go green because everybody's saying, go green, go green. And they signed on to the Paris Accord, along with the Netherlands and Austria. All three of them now returning to coal amid the gas shortage. They're reopening coal mines they had shut down. Trump was right on target. And he warned them when he was president. And they left. 40 years ago, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, warned all of Europe, be careful tying yourself too close to the Soviet Union, because there will come a day that they will come back and bite you in the arse. I'll break that story down for you when we continue. Or actually in a minute, I was off on my time here. When I read this report to you in a moment, this is what was reported by the New York Times. You're going to get a clear picture. This is why Putin is doing what he is. He wants to restore the old Soviet Union. It will be a cold war in the sense that if you don't have any heat and energy for your people when winter comes, you will have high casualties. If you can't produce and move your food, you will have high casualties. The warning from 40 years ago, you think they're listening to that again?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So the New York Times, March of this year, came out with a piece on how Europe got hooked on Russian gas despite Ronald Reagan's warnings. Now, I played for you a few moments ago a piece reminding us that when Trump was in office, speaking at the UN, he told Germany, do not become reliant upon Russia. And they laughed and snickered at him. So the New York Times went back, and I'll have to give them credit for this because it seems to be pretty accurate. In 1981, Reagan imposed sanctions trying to block a Soviet pipeline project, but he soon ran into stiff opposition from the industry and from members of Europe. Russia currently has a wide-reaching gas export pipeline network, transit routes to Belarus, Ukraine, sending gas directly into Europe. That includes the Nord Stream, the Blue Stream, Turk Stream, and Nord Stream 2, which has been completed but not opened yet. And Russia has already stopped sending gas to the Baltic states in Poland, Bulgaria, and Finland, reducing flows elsewhere. The share of Russian gas imports to the Eastern European countries already decreasing 45% from April 2021 to 31% this last April. Pipeline gas falling 40%. They're turning off the spigots. The March article from New York Times, and I'm reading it directly as it begins. The language in the CIA memo was unequivocal. The 3,500-mile gas pipeline from Siberia to Germany is a direct threat to the future of Western Europe, it said, creating, quote, serious repercussions from a dangerous reliance on Russian fuel. The next sentence, the agency, talking about the CIA, wasn't briefing President Biden today. It was advising President Reagan more than four decades ago. The memo was prescient. That Soviet-era pipeline, the subject of a bitter fight between the Reagan administration, marked the start of Europe's heavy dependence on Russian natural gas to heat homes and fuel their industry. And now those same gas purchases, if they're continuing, are helping Putin's war machine in Ukraine. Despite worldwide condemnation, of the attacks and global efforts to punish Russia financially. Now again, back in 1981, based on this memo, Reagan imposed sanctions trying to block that 3,500-mile gas pipeline that was going to run from Siberia to Germany at that time. It was a major Soviet initiative designed to carry large amounts of fuel to one of our critical allies in Europe, and we could see it for what it is. You're giving them cake and ice cream and balloons and a party, and then you're taking it all away. You don't have to be a CIA analyst to understand how that game is played. But again, the Kremlin disagreed with that, so that's not our intent. European nations so eager for a cheap source of gas said, no, we want to do that. We want it closer to home. And the Kremlin's offering to help us. Yeah, they're offering to help destroy you. This is almost akin to the German troops putting Jews in cattle cars. And when they arrive, we know you're tired and you're dirty. We'll put you in some showers so you can clean up. And they gas them to death. There was a public relations and lobbying blitz, this is again according to the New York Times story on it, that played out across newspaper opinion pages, congressional committees, a direct appeal to the White House, industry and lobbyists fighting against the sanctions. The chairman of an Exxon subsidiary, which had a stake in that pipeline, said, Reagan has absolutely no reason to forbid this business. Reagan had every reason. He is commander-in-chief, and he has to be concerned not about the profits of Exxon Oil, but the national security of this nation and our friends who depend on us. The article goes on to say those efforts nearly half a century ago show how some of the world's largest oil and gas companies played a critical role in opening up Russia's reserves by opposing sanctions, advocating for business interests over national security, human rights, or environmental concerns. There was no green pie in the sky proposal then. They weren't around. They hadn't even been born. No one's thinking about worrying about climate change and blaming it all on oil and gas production and so forth, especially in this nation. we had done a better job in this nation than anywhere in the world in cleaning our air up from such pollution. But the other countries continue to do what they want to do. I want to get into that in more detail in just a moment. But today, as the New York Times points out, Europe's reliance on Russian gas has put European nations in a compromised position. They continue to purchase Russian energy, transferring enormous sums of money to Moscow, which fund a Russian invasion they denounced. That was back in March. Now, a lot of that has changed since then, as far as the money and buying from Russia. But it's not all shut off. And in fact, it's very clear when the German expert, energy expert, says if it is all shut off, it's been decreased 45 to 50%. If it's all shut off, we will have basically 2.5 months we can survive without Russian gas or something to supplant that need. He says 2.5 months, that's 10 weeks. Imagine your calendar and you're watching it. And you think, boy, this summer went by in a hurry, didn't it? Think how difficult it would be when that calendar starts counting down. That's why Germany is going back to using coal, opening up the, and they were one of the first to join and get in on the Paris Accord. Oh, we want cleaner air and the climate change and issues. It's all blamed on man-made issues and coal mining, and we're going to get rid of fossil fuels. They're going back to coal mines, opening them up. Austria, Netherlands are. China has never shut its coal mines and is rapidly opening more. And Germany, which had said we're going to shut down our last three nuclear power plants, now says we may not right now. And as I told you in the beginning, without Russian natural gas, they're going to face an emergency. And they're already telling their people, we're going to ration your water, your hot water in particular. We're going to dim the street lights. We're going to shut down all the swimming pools because we need energy for elsewhere and we can't be using it for something like giving you light to see your way down the street, nor to enjoy getting out of the heat with a swimming pool, nor even having a hot shower in the evening. Biden, of course, continues to insist that he's going to take the steps necessary to deal with this energy crisis, not energy crisis, but climate crisis. Energy will suffer because of it. You will suffer. America will suffer. The world will suffer if others step in line and follow this. But again, they don't care if they get their green climate pie in the sky shoved through one way or the other, wherever. So when we come back, let's go back to Joe Biden yesterday, up in Massachusetts, talking about, I know what's happening. I am going to take care of it. I am the president. I am, right? Still? Yeah, okay. I am going to take care of it. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, we see you here all the time. I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Mustang Savage. Guess you better slow up that Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Climate change is literally an existential threat to our nation and to the world. This is an emergency. An emergency. And I will look at it that way. I said last week, and I'll say it again loud and clear. As president, I'll use my executive powers to combat the climate crisis.
Or something like that. And get some pistachio ice cream while I'm at it. We were told, prepare for the president to issue emergency executive order regarding climate change. That was 2 days before his appearance yesterday. And then someone in the back room said, hey, we don't have that ready yet. Don't do that. But make a statement about it, that you're working on it. So that's what he did. He has not issued an executive order regarding climate change and what all that might bring, sudden restrictions that are not in place now. You can sit here and spitball all day as to what they will do. They've already shut down oil and gas leases. They'll say we'll open some, but then the oil and gas companies are told, but in 10 years we're going to destroy you anyway, so good luck with using your money. They're trying to wipe out coal, and they're going to fight all of this climate crisis by making you suffer at the pump and elsewhere. And yet the elite, those who know more than you do because you're just a peon, they understand that we don't have to live the way we've been doing. We can clean everything up. We can go back and everybody have an electric car. And how are you going to power it and where? Well, we'll figure that out as we go along, and you come to a stop in the highway somewhere and there's nothing there to help you. Congressman Hill, who's French Hill, Congressman French Hill, Republican of Arkansas, said if climate change is critical, why this?
If climate change is in fact an existential threat to the globe, then why does he let China, Russia, India, most other countries outside Europe and the United States off the hook for things that emit carbon? He should be promoting an international nuclear energy policy. He should be telling China and Russia and India not to burn coal, but to switch to natural gas, switch to nuclear. So it's just not credible what he said in Massachusetts yesterday.
Of course it's not. You know that. I know that. He even knows it. I'm convinced he does. Here's the thing about Biden, which, let's be direct. It's very easy to lay a lot of this stuff at the feet of he's getting older, dementia, onset of Alzheimer's, whatever, things of this nature, cognitive issues, all of that could play a part in a lot of things he does. But when he campaigned, he presented himself as, I am the moderate, even to the extent that Democrats now are upset with him, that, no, you're proving to be not the ringleader, but the captive of the green pie in the sky people. You're not moderate. All the man had to do, all he really had to do once he won, is come in and be a caretaker. A caretaker of what Trump had put in place. That's all he had to do. The nation would be better off right now. His numbers would be through the roof. Everybody would be giving him all the credit, although you and I know it would go back to Trump, but the nation as a whole would be better. Fine. Take the blame or credit in that case. He just had to come in and don't screw it up. Just come in and be the caretaker. Don't come in and start even rearranging furniture in the room. Certainly don't start blowing walls out of the house, planning an expansion. Certainly don't set fire to the house. That's what Biden has done to our nation. Fueling inflation. And food prices are going to go up, as I said, in less than 2 months, maybe three at the most. They always follow increases in fuel. And there are a lot of Democrats that have walked away from the Republican Party because that's not the guy they elected that's in there now. They really expected he would be old, good old Blow Joe, Blow moderate, blue-collar worker, and just be a caretaker. But he's being held hostage by the extremist. Then you get somebody like CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin. Listen to this. He said, Donald Trump, he's a tinfoil crazy man. He's talking about the 2020 election, but it'll make a difference. Jeffrey Toobin of CNN, the legal analyst, calling Donald Trump a tinfoil crazy man. It's crazy he's even still on the air, because Toobin is the one, you remember, that in that video Zoom conference decided to unzip his pants. And yeah, that's the same guy. Now you tell me who's a tinfoil idiot. Coming up, what are we going to do about some other issues?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.